Good morning, everyone. How's everyone this beautiful morning? I see we've got some people that we haven't met yet, and we've got all kinds of people that I know and love, all of you.
And you too, Cody.
Not as much as you do. There was a man who woke up one morning and figured that he needed to know what was the meaning of life. So that day he took his life savings and flew to India with Ingo. He flew to India and he heard that there was a man on top of this mountain who knew the meaning of life. So he's scrambling way up there in the north, getting up this high mountain. And he's out of money, he's out of breath, he's on his last step, and he falls before the old man. And he said, old man, what is the meaning of life? And the old man just sat there and smiled, and he said, you didn't need to come here to find out the meaning of life. Now, the thing is that I read and I hear about people wanting to get closer to God all the time. And it seems like they're only talking to God. They don't sit and listen and wait for the answer. So just like me, they spend all their time talking. But we're waiting for John to do the sermon, teasing him. Anyway, so what I'd like you all to do is I would like you to put your hands by your side, and I'd like you to all close your eyes and breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, over and over, deep breaths. And I want you to think one on the in-breath. Just feel that for a moment. That's one way. You can all put your heads up now. That's one way you can wait for the answer. Just relax. That one cleared your mind. It's what Taoists used to call the uncarved block. So you wait for God to shape the block as to how you are to lead your life. But wait for the answer. Don't just read the words you don't understand. Read them and wait for the answer. That is a very deep form of meditation. And with that, because God is ever present, you can't run away from God. A lot of people in prison thought they could, but it's a futile effort. So I'd like to do the call to worship. If everyone can pull out their cell phones and go to Bible verse, be still and know. It says in Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So, we'd like to carry on now with a hymn. There is a place of quiet rest in your worship books or hymnal worship books, number 5.
So that's in your blue hymnals, number 5.
There is a place of quiet rest.
Oh,
welcome to the service. I understand that Rudolf Sawatsky has his nephew here, and I'd like to introduce him. Joe Rapson Giesbrecht, where are you? Stand so everybody can see you, buddy. Sehr gut. Dankeschön. And we have someone that that Glenn Bergen is going to introduce for us later. Here's a spoiler. That wonderful young man over there kind of stands out amongst all of us. That's our new friend. Welcome, Bali. Okay, so to get on with it, let's go to the children's story.
Good morning. How are you today? Last week we talked about computers and how they seem to know us, right? Do you remember? Today we're going to talk about a phone. Pretty cool. What do you have to do with a phone every night when you go to bed? Jalen? You have to charge it. That's right. You have to charge the battery or it doesn't work. And today's story is about charging batteries. Pretty cool, hey? So, people have to recharge batteries too. Did you know that? But it's not so easy for us. We don't just get to plug into a wall and then we'll be all better. We have to work at recharging. And Jesus, actually, when he was on earth, showed us how that works. So he would go around Galilee and he was preaching and healing people and talking. And one day he decided that he would go and visit Simon and Andrew, one of his disciples. He'd go and see their mom and maybe he could have a rest at mom's house. But when he got to mom's house, she was in bed, sick. So what did Jesus do? Does anyone have a guess? Yes, Nadia. He healed her, yes. And then, like in every community, people heard, the lady was sick, and Jesus came, and now she's well. And what do you think happened then to poor, tired Jesus? Yeah. More people came. Everybody that had any little owie came to see Jesus, and he, of course, healed them. And how do you think that made him feel? More tired, that's right. So he finally got to bed, but he didn't sleep in. The next morning he got up really early and went all by himself into a quiet place and he began to pray. And that's how he recharged his battery. He went to pray to God. Now, do you think that's an example for us? Sleep and then pray. That's right. So he recharged his batteries and was ready to go, and that's an example for us that we need to sleep and eat and do all the things that keep us well, but we must not forget the most important thing is also to pray and to think about God and how he wants us to be in our world. So can we bow our heads for a prayer? Heavenly Father, help us to remember that just as our bodies must be renewed by proper rest, our spirit must be renewed by spending time with you in prayer, Bible study, and worship. Amen. And now you can go have fun on Sunday. Nope,
just
not.
1 second. Can change plans up just a tad. This week, most of us in the church learned to, okay, this is what we're doing now, because things have been a little bit surprising. And as a committee, the whole part of bringing Boley and Nestroy here has also been to get the church involved and the kids. So I'm just thinking it'd be really nice for the kids to stay up here for a few more minutes while they listen to Glenn and have the introduction. So parents, I'm going to send them back to you just for a few minutes, and then we're all going to go down to Sunday school. I hope that's okay. I know I didn't ask permission. You can forgive this. Permission later. Okay, good.
Well, it's on Thursday, I was on the phone with Gary, and we were just working out details of the final text of this announcement, just to give everyone an overview of what we're planning or what to expect with the refugee settlement plan that the church was making. And I got off the phone, and about 10 seconds later, MCC phoned, and they said, there's a young man at Welcome Place who you're connected with and you should pick up. And so after a few frantic phone calls, we quickly figured out what was going on, and a lot of people stepped up to help out. So I'd like to introduce my new friend and someone that a number of us have met, and I think we're looking forward to all meeting him more and getting to know him. Boli Yul Yin. He goes by Boli. Typically, this is a problem of a really stressed refugee settlement system where the news didn't come to us. His flight to Winnipeg was booked on January 28th, and he arrived here without any notice on Wednesday night. Someone, thankfully, from Welcome Place, who was picking up another new arrival to Winnipeg, noticed him and brought him to Welcome Place for the night. And then they tracked us down on Thursday morning. So he was in transit for a few days from Nairobi through Germany to Toronto to Winnipeg, and didn't get much rest. He's looking much more energetic and rested. He's been staying at Vic and Betty Lowen's for the last few days. In those frantic hour or so of phone calls, Mark Holmes Decor and Paul White agreed to pick him up at Welcome Place. They brought him to church for a while. We were trying to figure out where he was going to stay. Chris and Rachel Titterton have agreed for a sort of medium term to have a place at their home for him, but that they weren't ready. And in moments, Betty and Vic invited him to stay at their home. So things came together very quickly. But it's really exciting to have Boli here. I had the chance to spend part of Friday with him. We were making the rounds of getting a social insurance number and a bank account and a few other important details like Long John's. And got to know him a little bit. He was born in South Sudan, but has lived in a refugee camp, a really major refugee camp in Kenya called Dadaab, near Nairobi, for at least 11 years, I think. Okay, more like 20 in that particular camp. He speaks four languages. Has done very, very little schooling, but he speaks four languages: English, Arabic, and Dinka, which is a Sudanese dialect, as well as another Kenyan dialect. He's worked as a generator operator in the water system of the refugee camp for many years. He's a fan of the Arsenal and Il Bologna football clubs, if anybody follows European soccer. And he's an energetic, exciting, young man, and it's been great to get to know him. So I'll just take this chance to go over the plans, maybe a little more revised here. This was, as you'll see, this was written with the understanding that we'd probably have some advance notice about Boli's arrival. So there is in addition to Boli, we're expecting one more a young man from Burundi, Nestori Niankuru. We have no word from the federal government, citizenship and immigration. They're looking into this and have committed to not making or to giving us hopefully some advance notice. And so we'll have further news about that soon. So our sponsorship applications were submitted in December, and this has all been in process since then. So we've committed to support Boli and Nestori for 1 year. with cooperation of the federal government. So we have, in terms of financial support, we've committed to what's called startup expenses, which is basic clothing and household goods, other necessities to set up an apartment and a life, and as well as 6 months of living expenses. And the government then contributes the other 6 months of support. The financial support is very meager. It's based on social assistance levels of support. So we're looking around. You'll see the numbers in the bulletin, but it's in total we're looking at about at the very base level at $12,000 for the year. That may or may not cover everything. Likely may not. But that's our starting point. As well, some of these items and needs can be covered with gifts in kind. So you'll also see in the page over, Alice Pound and Trish Weeb have put together this list of items we're looking for donations. We should also add to that clothing. So if you have gently used good quality clothing that you might offer that we could offer to Boley and eventually Nestory, that would be welcome as well. I'll also mention housing. You've heard what the short-term plans are now at Vic and Betty's, and then beyond this at Rachel and Chris's home. But we're also on the hunt for an apartment that Nestory and Boley would be able to share for the year. If you have any suggestions, Shelby Weeb is taking a lead on that search. And then, any other questions about the project? There's 25 of us from the church who've been part of involved in the group. I guess we'll have a that's one piece we didn't have ready. We'll have a list of everybody who's involved and assisting with this project in future. But I'm glad to answer any questions if anyone has sort of general questions about the project. So my contact information is in the bulletin. And then I'll also mention James White is going to come up quickly and talk about a fundraiser that we're planning to support this project.
Hi. Just a couple quick questions. Does anybody know the capital of Ecuador? Does anybody know Bobby Hull's number when he played for the Jets? And who played Han Solo in Star Wars? So those are trivia questions if you didn't get that. There's no test right now. But please join us for a fundraiser on March 12th in support of Boley and Nestory. We're going to be having a free will offering, but really the intent behind this is to build excitement for this wonderful cause. And we want to have a lot of fun. We're going to have some live music from Mark. And we're also going to be having a trivia contest. And the way the contest is going to work is we're going to have as many teams as show up that we would, if you can make your own team or we can help you make a team for you. We're going to have probably about 10 rounds of questions. We're going to keep score. The teams will write down all their answers and submit them for marking. It'll be just like school, lots of fun. And whoever gets the most points becomes the trivia champions and gets all the rights and privileges thereto appertaining. If you come around 6:30 on March 12th, we're going to have some music, and then we're going to start the trivia contest around 7. If you could RSVP to me to let us know that you're coming. We want to make sure that we've got the critical mass of teams in order to run the contest successfully. One team would not be a fun contest. So we want to know who's coming. And there's also some preparation that we need to do in order to make it run properly. if you could get back to me by March 7th, that would be great. We can make our decision then. And then also, I mean, we're a church, so we'll forgive if you get back to me a little bit later than that. Once we have critical mass, that's fine. Bring friends. It doesn't have to just be church community. Bring your friends. It should be a lot of fun. And by the way, the answers are Quito, 9, and Harrison Ford. So, thanks.
Okay, so if the children would like to go down for Sunday school now. And as so often happens, and you just kind of wonder how this all works, but it does. And, of course, we planned the service and the music and so forth before knowing any of this was going to happen. And one of the songs that I chose for the choir to sing is called The Wonder of It All. So, yeah.
There's a wonder of sunset and evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all.
So there's a lot of community stuff to tell you. So I'm going to, Schmorg, you don't need any more than that. March 19th, read number 18. The worship service questionnaire is number 17. Don't forget that. Mennonite Church Canada, annual delegate sessions. At Bethel Mennonite Church, March 4th and 5th, so your calendar is full already. And then we're participating in the World Day of Prayer service on March 4th at Jubilee Mennonite Church. Kids Club is going strong but needs more volunteers. And NKMC Choir's choir rehearsal for Good Friday and Easter will begin on Sunday, February 28th at 9:30. Okay. So, I'm going to start with, I'm not going with the first worst, last best thing. So, my Aunt Louise is in Concordia Hospital. She and Uncle Rudy both had the flu, and she and Uncle Rudy was fine because he could drink a lot of water, but, Aunt Louise is kind of dehydrated, so she's in Concordia because she was weakened from her stay last time. Louise Peters is going for tests, and she's pretty worried about them, so she asks if we could all pray for her, and of course we would do that anyway. I'll just get a quick update here. So she's doing okay? Yeah? Okay, good. He's good with it, so we should all be good. Gary Hebert is recovering from a successful surgery. Valdemar Tom's daughter Glenda Arnott is back in hospital after a fall. Now I think they say Remillard instead of Remillard. So Don Remillard's brother, or Remillard, Ed Remillard, who has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Susanna Giesbrecht, who is undergoing treatments for skin cancer. Veronica Dick says, Rob and I would like to thank everyone from the bottom of our hearts for all the visits, cards, well wishes, etc. A special thanks goes out to Kim Zacharias for organizing the bi-weekly meal drop-offs and to all those who brought meals. Your support has meant a lot to us and is much appreciated. We ask for continued prayer support as the healing process continues. Tree Harris, Lena McCracken's 13-year-old great-niece, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. I'm struggling to find adequate words to express my gratitude for the kindness and generosity demonstrated by the congregation of your wonderful church. It is just such behavior that reflects the strength and goodness of Christian faith. On behalf of my grandmother, Tree, and our family, thank you, sorry. Hildy Weens would like to thank the church family for all the prayers, the prayer shawl, and the flowers. She is halfway through her chemo treatments and looks forward to them being done. And then my buddy Steve. Steve Bell in concert, 7 o'clock Saturday, number 21 in here. Going back, Ken Arlt, don't forget to keep Ken in your prayers as he continues with chemotherapy treatments. Johnny, how's he doing? Oh, Linda, how's he doing? So-so? Hanging in, good. Want to hear that. They would like to thank the congregation for the lovely flowers and prayers and support they have and continue to receive. Peter Hirschfeld, who I grew up with, who is in hospital being treated for pancreatitis. No visitors at this time, please. Continue to pray for Lainey Lozier and her son Jordan. Jordan's hernia surgery is on hold for the present. Isn't that what a hernia is, on hold? And it appears he will have surgery on March 2nd to fuse the C5 and C6. Okay, we can be doctors now. We want him to be better too. Again, the special welcome to Bali. Welcome. And our condolences go out to family friends of Margareta Berg, 91, who passed away on last Saturday. The funeral services were held on Friday and at the Friends Funeral Home. And let's take a moment to look over the names of the people that are in care at the moment. And after this, if anyone has anything to share, you'd be welcome to share them now. By the way, Matthew says he's sorry he wasn't here today. He was sick, so he's not passing the mic.
I'll come a little forward out of the back corner here. On behalf of the youth, we wanted to thank everyone who came out for the borscht lunch last week. We recognized that it was a long weekend. There were some people away. It was very successful. We have raised enough money at this point to send 4 people to conference fully. And if you are willing, we welcome further donations. There will be a more updated kind of final number in the bulletin next week.
Okay, we're good. I'm going to call up Gary.
The worship committee has chosen this song as our Lent song. It's in your bulletins. It's a little bit small. I apologize. Hopefully we can maybe see if we can make it a little bigger next week. But we'll be singing it every week for the next few weeks, so hopefully you will learn it. It's in unison. You can find harmonies if you wish as we go. It's a song about turning away from a lot of things and turning toward God, which is what our theme is for this next few weeks. So please join me as you can. Maybe we need to stand just for a change of position.
Thank you.
All of us have things in our lives that occupy us, things that we bring to God and fill up our whole being. This morning we want to take a little time to pray, and it seems as we gather all these prayers together, each is a little prayer, but it's not. Each is huge, and each encompasses people and their whole life. And so as we spend some time in prayer today, please take home the list in your bulletin and the added things that Charles has given us. And make sure that you put them up wherever it is that you spend time in prayer, and continue throughout the week to bring these people and these individuals before God. We are a family, and we want to collectively come to God on a regular basis with the things that sit heavy on all of us. Let's pray. God, we come to you today, and as always, as we enter your presence, we experience joy and hope. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the family, the church family that you have given us. Thank you for continual hope that continues to ride with us. And thank you for grace and mercy to process the struggles and things that we encounter in our life. We walk outside today and we see the sunshine, and it reminds us of the way that whatever is going on, your light, your hope, and your love continue to shine in our lives. We are grateful that Bali could come, even if it was a bit of a surprise. Thank you for the way that he is here to enrich our lives. Help us to reflect to him the love and care and hope that you have filled our lives with. We do think of the larger world, of the 60 million people who have been displaced because of political situations or war. God, it tears our heart out. As we get to know one person, it touches us deeply, and we think of those 60 million and how that must weigh on your heart. We ask that you would give the political leaders wisdom, and God, please, please help them to find a way other than violence to deal with things. We think of the situation within our own church, and we've discussed these people. We think of the family of Margaret Berg as they have said goodbye this past week. We think of Lainey as she is in New Zealand, going through an ongoing list of struggles with her son. Thank you for the time she can spend with her grandson. But God, give her a sense of hope. Her church family, her friends, her support circle is far, far away. We ask that you would be with Peter Hirschfeld in hospital, with Glenda Arnault, with Louise Lage. As they are in hospital getting better, thank you for our medical people who do their very best to walk with us. God, we set Ken Arlt before you. We don't know all the details, but it's been a long go already. And so we ask that you would be not only with Ken, but with family, with Linda and with the surrounding family and friends, and help them to feel your love and care. Help us as their support system to not forget that we need to pass on words of encouragement and an arm around the shoulder as well. Be with Louise Peters as she heads in for tests this Friday. Again, help her to feel your presence in the midst of it. It's been a long go for Hildy Weens, and it's been hard. So continue to give her strength. Thank you for her church family that supports her as well. We think of Tree Harrison, even though almost all of us haven't met her. We've seemed to have gotten to know her as we've been praying for her faithfully these last number of weeks. Be with her and family, somebody so young. We are grateful for Veronica being able to get better. We ask that you would be with her as she heads in the next week or two to see if she can do weight bearing. That's always an exciting step. With Suzanne Giesbrecht, I'll be with her, with Ed Remillard. God, when we make this adjustment, we know that there's a day you call us all home. But things come quickly and it's hard to process. So be with Ed, be with Dawn as well as he walks with his brother. With Waldemar, Tom, and with Glenda. God, this is long and ongoing, and these things wear on us. So give them strength and courage. And with Gary, we're glad that the surgery has gone well. Give him continued hope and strength as he recuperates from that. God, there's so much more that we would lie before you. You know our hearts and what is there. We have come before you this morning because we are your people. We know you, we know you love us, and we trust you. Hold our hand as we walk through life. We ask that you would take our openness to follow you as our offering this morning. We ask the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering, please.
From Mark, chapter 1, 32. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
All right. Sermon today is like an iceberg. You're going to only see 10% of it. Thank you, Chris, for not cheering. Chris Titterton is very quick studying. He said he doesn't need nearly as long as I usually get him to catch where we're going. During Lent this year, rather than doing the normal talking about the housekeeping for the soul, we're looking at spiritual disciplines. And if you look in your bulletin, it says that we want to, spending time with God is our theme. Just about forgot it there for a moment. Spending time with God. And so we want to look at some of the spiritual disciplines. Last week, we kind of came on a little strong when we talked about journaling and suggested that journaling wasn't only finding a sacred spot to meet with God, but journaling is also a dialogue. It's a coming totally honest before God. It's examining our lives and responding, and that gets really, really scary. The gospel in this, the good news in this, is that regardless of what we find when we dig inside, it's like cleaning out your basement, you're not always sure what you're going to find, Regardless of what we find, what we've hidden even from ourselves, God's response to us, like the father of the prodigal son, is always embrace. God loves us insanely. And when we come to know ourselves with that kind of honesty, not only the struggles that we have, but even the struggle to understand who God is and where God is and how God works, God embraces us as his children and says, nothing you can do, nowhere your brain can go, that I am not going to embrace you and love you. And we ended on that note, talking about journaling as a source of joy because of exactly that. Today we want to talk about meditation. Now, first, when we hear about meditation, to be really honest, it sounds just a little bit, what's the technical term? Flaky. We think about, lotus position and psychological messing with our head and emptying our mind and all that kind of stuff. That's not where we want to go. The Bible talks about meditation, I believe it's 58 times. And in there, what meditation means is that we slow down, as Charles mentioned earlier, take time to listen to God. It's time to reflect on what God does, on the things that God says, both laws and promises. That's where we want to go with that. So there's three things I want to say about meditation. Firstly, as I mentioned, meditation is about listening to God. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, fabulous book, written over 30 years ago. I still go back and reference it. In fact, much of what I have to say, I need to give him credit for today. Some other days I think of my own things. Anyhow, so what he says is there are three things in our culture which fight against meditation, which fight against us slowing down and listening to God. Hurry, busyness, and crowds. Hurry, busyness, and crowds. And he says we need to address those. We need to slow down. We need to clear off our desk. And we need to get alone. Carl Jung, I'm not sure how often he's used to support the gospel, but here we go, said, hurry is not of the devil. It is the devil. I just thought that was kind of cute. We need to slow down. Have you ever gone for a drive in the country at night? It's a warm night. What do? Get in the car, turn up the windows, turn on the air conditioning, crank up a few tunes, have a friend with us so we can visit, and we go for a drive in the country. And what you hear is the air conditioner, the radio, and your friend, and what you see is what that little patch of ground in front of your car. If you stop your car in a safe place without lights around, and you open the window, and you turn off the radio, your air conditioner, and your friend, and you listen, a whole world opens up. And you hear the frogs, and you hear the bugs out there, and you might hear a few birds, and the wind rustling in the trees. Grew up in northern BC. We used to go out at night sometimes, lay in the grass and look up, and the sky was white with stars. And once in a while, we would see the aurora borealis, the northern lights. And you'd hear the loons on the lake, and I don't know if this is my imagination or if this actually happened, but we'd hear the wolves as well. Now, all of the things that were going on outside of your car were happening before you stopped the car and opened the windows and listened. And that's how it is with us and God. God is out there longing to speak with us. And we've got the windows up and the tunes cranked and are so busy, we don't listen. Meditation is taking the time and place to slow things down to hear. Moses spent 40 years wandering around in Midian until he sees the burning bush. One commentator says, that bush had probably been burning for 40 years, God trying to get his attention, and he ignored it for 40 years because he was too busy to see it. And one day he kind of trips on it, slows down, takes a look, and realizes God is there. And he slows down and he listens and God speaks to him. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. You know the verse. I grew up with that, with being told that verse has to do with becoming a Christian, which is wonderful. But it was one of the, it's part of one of the letters to the seven churches. That is God speaking to us, to the church. And he's saying to us, I'm banging on the door. You guys are busy inside worshiping. Can you take time to listen to me? I'm here. And as Christians, we have a heart to follow God. We mean to, but we're busy. Things going on and our life is happening and we don't take time. When we finally slow down, when we hear God, obedience happens. Not because God teaches us another rule. Oh, you think they're all in the Bible? I got 16 more. But what it is when we encounter God, we see ourselves, we see who God wants us to be and who we long to be, and we change. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 6 of the book he wrote, or that was written with his words, he encounters God. He sees himself. And what's his response? God says, who am I going to send? He says, pick me, pick me. He's excited to do the things of God. He slowed down, listened, saw himself, wanted to change. And that's the call to us. The second thing is familiarity. We don't usually think about meeting God in familiarity because God is holy. But what we mean is making our encounters with God, meeting with God, a regular thing. The church fathers called it holy leisure. Taking time to be with God in a quiet way. Jesus talks in, the Gospel of John talks in chapter 15. Jesus speaking about vine and branches. And in my version of the Bible, it uses the word abiding. When the vine, let's use a tree imagery, we're more used to that. When the branch is plugged into the tree, it grows. Now, if the branch says, I think I'll plug in once a month, and we'll see how that goes, it's called a dead branch. Abiding means you got to stick with it. And what meditation invites us to do is to take time on a regular basis to connect, to abide, so that it's not starting from square one. It's like if you're exercising. If you decide to exercise once a month, what does your body tell you? Quit it. Because every time it's the same pain and you're not getting anywhere. Whether they say three times a week to build on it and to make it work. And so it is with connecting with God. There needs to be a sense of familiarity there. Third thing I would like to say about meditation is that it invites us to long to hear God's voice. Let me explain. We live in a culture where we like to hear about what God says and not necessarily what God says. So we like to have a pastor or a priest or a Bible study leader or people on TV who go on and on and on and tell us what we're supposed to think about what God said. Or our favorite author, and we keep reading these books. We want to know from somebody else what God said. And then we can decide how we're going to follow. And if you listen long enough, you'll find the voice you want to hear. I'm sorry, that was a little sarcastic. We are invited to not only hear about what God said, but in meditation, to hear God speak to us. It's scary, because if God speaks to me, there's a couple of things that happen. First of all, I'm scared because God's God and I'm me, right? Secondly, what if God tells me he doesn't want me to do things I'm doing? Not real crazy about that. How about if God tells me to do things I don't want to do? I remember as a kid, I was always scared to pray and get close to God because I was sure God was going to want me to go door-to-door evangelism for the rest of my life. Not real crazy about that one. And so it's a little scary to come close to God. But the invitation is, come. Come and hear the voice of God. There are so many amazing authors who have written 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, about what it looks like to slow down and meditate. I've really appreciated the writings of Teresa of Avila. There are others, John of the Cross, going back a ways, Augustine, lots of people who took time. That was before cell phones and all the other cool stuff. They took time to slow down, unbusy their life, get alone, and let God speak to them. Well, that brings us to the how do we do this, and I'm not going to tell you. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this a little. I'll just give you a few little hints, but you need to come back. Next week, Janet Peters is going to talk about Lectio Divina, and that's part of how we meditate using Scripture. So you want to come to that. Chris Titterton is going to talk about solitude in 2 weeks, and again, ways to focus on God. 3 weeks from now, I'll take a look at inductive Bible study. That's been something that I have found tremendously life-giving. As we were doling out who is doing what, I said, that's mine, you can't have it. This is a very exciting way to approach Scripture, for me at least. And we want to end with something which I think is very important. Seeing Jesus in the other. We encounter Christ in the other person. So just a couple of little things. Meditation. Meditation takes time. You can't meditate during the commercials when you're watching hockey. Doesn't work. You need a little more time than that. You need to take time to kind of flush your brain. And I don't know about you, but it takes me more than 6.5 seconds, especially if I've been watching hockey. It also takes a commitment to slow down and listen. It takes a longing for us to do that. And for that longing to hear God's voice, we need to pray. It's a gift of God. Meditation for us, like it was for Jesus when he went to a solitary place, is meant to be a time of refreshing, a time where we find wisdom and direction and a sense of peace, not to avoid life. It's not skirting around the issues of life, but exactly to prepare us for life. To prepare us for the struggles we have that we prayed about earlier, the health issues that we go through. To prepare us for the changes that happen in ourselves and in the people we love. To deal with the things going on in our broader world. Meditation, listening to God, is a way to prepare our hearts. May God give you joy as you consider that. Looking for ways in which you and I can spend time with God, allowing God to touch our lives, to grow in our Christian life, as we talked about last week.
Will you turn in your blue hymnals again to number 357, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
Did you catch what I just did? I said, let's meditate. Let's slow down. Let's take time. And then I fast-tracked the sermon as fast as I could. Give you the Reader Digest version, and I'm sorry. I really am trying to learn to do the things I talk with you about. I'm just a real slow study, so please bear with me as I try and learn. I'll slow down this afternoon, okay? Would you please stand for the benediction? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
May the peace of our God.